This interview is for information only and should not be considered as investment advice or a recommendation to buy shares in the company featured. Welcome to this Stockbox interview. Welcome to the Research Talks podcast with Alan Green from Brand UK. Welcome back again, Alan. How are you?
Thank you, Mark. I'm very good. A bit of a change in the weather this week, but I guess we are heading towards the autumn and winter, so no surprises there.
No surprises there. As I said last week, though, it's nice when it gets darker that usually people get back to work and things get more interesting on the stock market. So, as we lose the sunlight, we gain the screen time.
That's right. Yes, we become semi nocturnal creatures. And, yeah. The only light's coming from the screens, and we sit there anxiously watching the screens through the day as the numbers rise and fall. That's about the sum of it.
So today you wanted to revisit both power metal resources and tertiary minerals. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. Okay. There are a number of power metal. I mean. It's power by name, power by nature. I mean, they have been very busy during September, and there are a number of developments across their projects. But yeah, I just want to revisit the initial investment proposition and just look at why this company. I think it's got very undervalued given the assets it now holds, but also the future potential. And I think that the sheer pace of developments from the company, we're going to see a big change in the investor perception of the group within the next few months. So
I think you could almost do a power revisit almost every week or two.
I actually wonder if Paul Johnson, the CEO, ever gets any sleep, because it's...
I don't know
it's
if he does.
Well, they're operating all over the world in different time zones and progressing projects at a frenetic rate. I just think a lot of companies would be fully occupied just running one of these projects, never mind the multiple projects they have as part of their asset portfolio. But so Power Metal currently got a valuation of 8.7 million. Shares are trading at just over a penny, and of course, as we've just said, they have a raft of projects. So I'm just going to summarize each one, and then there have been some specific developments on three of the projects that I'm going to look into over the next 15 minutes or so. Okay. So the primary project. I think the importance of these projects tends to sort of move around as developments take place on each one. But certainly the one where there is a great deal of investor focus at the moment is the joint venture with Red Rock Resources, which is Red Rock Australasia, which is a gold project. 49% owned by Power Metal, 51% owned by Red Rock. And this consists of a number of license applications in the Ballarat area around Victoria. And if you go to the Power Metal Resources website and look at Australia, there's a very good map taken from Google with the overlays showing the license areas that the group has. The territory is some 1,800 plus square kilometers around the region. All the license areas have extensive evidence of gold mineralization. And of course, there is a huge amount of activity taking place there at the moment. Of course, we talked about ECR Minerals with the Creswick and Bayliston projects. And most recently, they had the Tambo project application. But particularly in the Victoria region, there's a raft of activities underway. And in fact, Paul Johnson himself retweeted more news on the Victoria Goldfields. Fosterville South. Now, Fosterville South are a They're a TSX listed exploration company, and they in fact acquired the Avoca and Timor licenses and Moranbah licenses from ECR Minerals. So they are exploring those, and of course ECR has a royalty in those license areas. But they updated yesterday and said they reported new high grade and extensive gold assay results from its Golden Mountain project in Australia, which of course is in Victoria. So these are new intercepts the company has discovered. 10 grams per ton over 28 meters and 13 meters at 17.5 grams per ton. Of course, this is with the gold price just pushing higher and higher. So that's Fosterville South Exploration, very active in the area. As regards Power Metal developments in the same area, during September, Power Metal reported that it's had an NI technical report. That's a National Instrument Technical Report back on what it calls the BMV project, and that's given them a detailed independent review of the geological prospectivity and the potential within eight of its license applications across the area. So the Ballarat Buninyong gold property, there are four licenses covering the southern extension to the west and the east of the Ballarat goldfield, and that's operated by Lion Gold's Ballarat mine. The Dalesford Yandoi gold property, four licenses parallel to the southern part of the Dalesford goldfield, and the Kilmore Donnybrook gold property, which has two licenses in the Melbourne area. During the month also, Power Metal appointed a guy called David Holden as exploration manager. Now, David Holden has a vast amount of experience as exploration manager in similar roles for various companies over the years. And in fact, he was recently technical advisor to the New Zealand government on exploration matters. Retired, and then was, I think, you know, it's often the case with these old geologists, they love the work, and given the intense amount of activity in Victoria, he was brought back in by Lion Gold at the Lion Gold mine in 2018. So of course it makes total sense bringing David Holden in, because the license areas owned by Power Metal are simply an extension of that whole region. So I think any news from there, it's going to, you know, we're at a very exciting juncture with that, and I think you know that the next news we're going to hear from there, as it develops, is going to sort of it's going to really start to propel the value of the company higher from where we are currently, and of course on the back of that, the CEO Paul Johnson also bought more shares, bought 1 million shares at 1.2p during the month. I think he sees considerable potential in the group too. I think that's probably an understatement. But so that's the developments to date on the Australia joint venture. And of course we have a number of other assets. We'll talk about Botswana now. Of course, the joint venture with Kavango Resources, which is the Ditau Camp project, the Kalahari Key Metals exploration project, and the Power Metal have an 80% stake in the Kalahari Key Metals exploration project, which owns the Malopo Farms project in Botswana. In addition to that, that joint venture also, there's a joint venture with Kavango Resources on the Kalahari Copper Belt, and an update recently during September, the Kalahari Copper Belt, the joint venture is to commence sampling. The belt is located in Botswana, Western Botswana, just immediately southwest of Sandfire Resources Dome copper and silver discoveries. It's an area of some 1,300 square kilometres, and of course the geology in the region is very well known. It's been very well explored. They have two prospecting licences. Soil sampling is currently underway to determine the drill targets for the group, and samples have been taken back to Kavango's base camp in the region to progress that further. So again, you know, this is these are. This is project number two, which is continuing apace. The company also announced recently it had acquired the rights to earn into a, or on a 30% interest into the Silver Pea project in British Columbia and Canada. And again, just going back to the 24/7 nature of the power metals offering in different time zones. So it's a portfolio of claims across the an area that incorporates part of the Eureka Victoria Silver Mine, which was the first Crown granted mineral property in British Columbia. The company undertook sampling. Well, it took 10 channel and one grab sample from the Victoria vein area, and with those samples reported bonanza silver grades, and these numbers are incredible. I mean, 10,718 grams per ton and 14,937 grams per ton, and across the entire region or the entire sample. Samples collected from the work, there was an average of 6,000 grams per ton in silver. And of course, here we are now with silver pushing higher like gold, currently sitting at 78 grams per ton. So, again, huge potential here as well. We then, of course, most recently had an update on the Haneti project, and this is a joint venture in Tanzania with Katoro Gold. It's a nickel and platinum gold metals project. Power Metal owns 35%, Katoro 65%, and the company announced yesterday, or both companies announced yesterday, pre-rig mobilization ahead of the maiden drilling program. Of course, very exciting time. So this is a bit further down the road than the other projects. The technical team is liaising with the Tanzania Ministry of Metals. Of course, that's subject to COVID restrictions, but they're not just looking for nickel and platinum gold metals. They also believe the territory is prospective for gold, copper, and lithium too. So again, everything is progressing rapidly. Also, of course, to mention there haven't been any developments over the past few weeks, but the company has an option, Power Metals has an option to earn into the Alamo Gold Project in the USA. If they decide to earn in, there are a series of payments, 50%, then 75%. And of course, there will be updates on that in the near future. Just to reiterate the board, of course, Paul Johnson. We discussed Paul on many occasions, so I won't provide any more info on him. It's he's well known. You can Google Paul and find out all about him. And of course, the chairman is Andrew Bell, also the head of Red Rock Resources. So you've got a lot of very experienced mining people here. But I think as a prospective investment within the mining sector, Power Metals offers, at its level, almost an unrivaled spread of risk and diverse potential, because it's engaged in these different projects around the world, most of which are in territory which is already established as highly prospective, where there are other mines in operation or dormant mines. And of course, as we've said previously, a lot of these dormant projects are now being revisited, simply because the cost of the buying the assets, or the cost of buying the metals and the base commodities have risen so dramatically. I think we're at a very exciting juncture for the industry, and of course, it's really the opportunities being created by the COVID, or indirectly by the COVID situation, where governments are having to spend so much on providing money for furlough schemes, supporting companies, and generally supporting the countries whilst they work their way through and find a vaccine. So yeah, very exciting times for Power Metal.
Yeah, indeed, as you said, there's an awful lot going on with that company, and we could almost talk about it every other week or so. It's a great one to follow, because you sort of know there's always going to be something coming out, you know, some kind of update to look forward to. I know Paul, and I know he works very, very hard. So and if he's bought at 120, even more confidence, like you say, you know, it's because what is it? Just over a penny. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, you can buy cheaper than the CEO bought if you want to.
Well, that's the thing. You just look at, I mean, look at what Fosterville south of, just look at the gold joint venture with Red Rock in Australia alone, you know, never mind anything else, you know, the potential there. So they've got the guy that knows Victoria like the back of his hand and is working with Lion Gold in Ballarat, which is literally just up the road from where the licensed territories are. And that's an active gold mine. And the geological, the geology basically crosses over runs across the regions that where the power metal license areas exist. And of course, the same is true also with ECR Minerals with the Kresik project, which is just up the road from Ballarat too.
Mm-hmm. Good. Okay, good. Oh, that's a nice little update. Thank you, Alan.
Okay, so now on to tertiary minerals. Mm-hmm. Why the company still has a market cap of just on 2 million is an absolute mystery to me. But I think there's some investors have looked at the funding for the company that came through Precious Metals, and of course those are convertible loan notes, and the company continues to convert at current levels. So, but nonetheless, Tertiary Minerals has something like 500,000 in the bank. It's well funded, and it has a range of assets. And of course, before I go into the key update that was announced early this week, I just want to go into another element where the company updated a few weeks back, which seems to have been completely overlooked by the market. Tertiary owns a gold royalty in Finland, which is the Karaselka gold royalty. Orion Resources is the owner and operator of Karaselka. This is a TSX listed company, and these two companies own a chunk of Orion. That's Kinross Gold and B2 Gold. Of course, Kinross is a huge company. So Orion Resources announced that it had mobilized its drill rigs and would be commencing drilling in the area. And of course, it's a well-established area for gold. But Tertiary have an agreement with as their earn-out agreement They have a pre-production royalty of $1 per ounce when an inferred resource is established. They have a pre-production royalty of $2 per ounce when an indicated resource is established. And again, a pre-production royalty of $3 per ounce once National Instrument 43-101 measured mineral resource is established at the asset. They also have a net smelter royalty agreement of 2% on all production. But at any time, written into the agreement, Orion can purchase 50% of that net smelter agreement for $1 million at any time. So I've mentioned that first of all because Patrick Cheetham, the chairman himself, said that he believed this had been overlooked by the market. But there's drilling underway. There's news there. There's news due from Orion at any time from Karaselka, and this would, I believe, materially change the tertiary valuation. If there's an inferred resource established of however many thousand ounces or tens of thousands of ounces, or you know, if it's even bigger, then wow. I think that gives you some idea of the potential of that gold royalty alone. And that's before we get into what Tertiary does as a core operator of the projects in Nevada. Mm-hmm. So onto those Nevada projects. Tertiary, of course, was initially known as and established as a fluorspar company. Fluorspar, of course, is the critical mineral that is used across a range of applications in smelting, in optics, and a rafter of other applications. It's classed as a critical raw material by the EU. But the market in the market influence by has been fairly benign. Tertiary has three projects currently. It has the Storuman project in Sweden, the Lassedalen project in Norway, but both these just consist of a resource in the ground, and as of yet, no permissions or agreements to go and mine this stuff. So it's there. It's an asset in the ground. Thirdly, they had the MB project in Nevada, but the company announced in an update this week that they'd undertaken metallurgy work, and the metallurgy work basically was unsuccessful. So they were letting that lease lapse. They weren't renewing it, and would focus the resources they had on developing the core projects in Nevada. And of course, in Nevada, you've got the Walker Lane Gold Belt, across which Tertiary has a range of assets. So we have the Peg Leg Copper Project. These are fantastic names, of course. The Peg Leg Copper Project, and the Paymaster Silver, Lead, and Zinc projects. We have the Mount Tobin Silver Project. We have the Lucky Copper Project, and of course the Pyramid Gold Project. So again, a range of projects that the company are currently developing and working towards. So an update this week. The company said that this week a series of drone magnetic surveys were scheduled for Peg Leg and Paymaster projects, following which, of course, soil sampling will be undertaken. And from the 3D imagery that the drone magnetic survey would create, they can then determine drill targets to progress both Paymaster and Peg Leg. The company also undertook a drone survey at the Mount Tobin Silver Prospect, and that's completed. They've got the 3D modeling undertaken there, completed there, and they're now undertaking a soil sampling program to define drill targets there. And the company also says soil sampling will shortly be underway at the Pyramid Gold Project to extend and confirm historic gold in soil anomalies. Now, just a note on the Paymaster project here. The geology in the area is similar to the Taylor deposit, which is in Arizona, owned by South 32, which has a declared mineral resource JORC estimate of some 55 million tons, 2.5% zinc, 9% manganese, and 78 grams per ton silver. So if the drone survey and then the soil sampling confirms that Paymaster is similar in formation and size to the Taylor deposit owned by South 32, then that could be a significant pivot point for the company in regard to valuation. Patrick Cheatham, the chairman, said that Tertiary's got its work cut out for the rest of 2020, despite the challenges presented by COVID-19. And indeed, I think any one of these projects, and of course, you know, going back to the drilling undertaken by Orion in Finland at the Karaselka gold project. Any news from these which moves the company towards an indicated or inferred resource is going to have a significant effect on the share price, particularly considering the company is trading at just with a market cap of just 2 million as we stand at the moment.
Yeah, very low.
It is. I think probably a lot of investors were invested into Tertiary for the fluorspar asset, and of course with relinquishing the lease on the Nevada license, I think a lot of people might have sold out on the back of that. So in my opinion, currently you could buy a block of these and tuck them away, but I don't think you need to tuck them away for long, because I think we're going to see some significant action before the end of the year.
Great. Excellent. Well, that's good, Alan. Thank you very much for the update on those two. That was good.
Thank you, Mark. Well, I think as you rightly say with Power Metal Resources, we'll be updating pretty regularly, simply because there is so much to talk about with that company.
Indeed. Great. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Alan, again, and we'll chat soon.
Thanks again, Mark.
Cheers, Alan. Bye-bye.
Cheers, bye.
Thank you for listening to this Stockbox interview. For more information, interviews and videos, visit our website at stockboxmedia.com or give us a follow on Twitter by searching at Stockbox Media.